All right. So, good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be with everybody today. What a beautiful week we've had so far. We've been truly blessed. We're continuing this week in a series that we've titled, In the Beginning. I've read Genesis a lot. Each December, when I start thinking about my goals and what I want to accomplish for the next year, I wind up trying a read-through-the-Bible plan. Those plans almost always start with Genesis. So going into the series, I felt that I had a pretty good grasp on the book and the stories that it held. But as Bob has shown me over the last couple of weeks, I still have a lot to learn. And I guess part of it is, with time comes change and experience, and each time I read Genesis, I'm a little bit different than I was the year before. Well, as normal, Bob kind of gives me a loose idea of where my week falls into the plan of the series. Sometimes it's pretty specific. I'll cover a certain verse or a certain chapter. This week, however, there was a theme to cover, faith and doubt. Bob said, look at these eight chapters. I was like, eight chapters? I want to talk about faith and doubt. I had doubt and Bob had faith. But after reading through and doing some praying, I was able to put down a few thoughts, and I'll ask you to join me as I go through those. Before we get started, let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your word. I'm always amazed at the way that you teach me through it. I'm humbled by the power of your written word. The way that something so ancient can be so perfect for me today, thousands and thousands of years after it was written. Father, as we go through this lesson, I ask that you join us all here, whether it's in your church or perhaps a home here in Arlington or maybe halfway a world around the world on another continent. I pray that your spirit speaks to us, that we all might hear your message and not mine. Father, I pray that your will be done, that you direct our steps and focus our hearts. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen. So Mr. Jones called his pastor. Called him from the hospital one day and frantically said, oh, pastor, come quickly. My son John was just bitten by a rattlesnake and is at the point of death. Of course, pastor hurried to the side of the worried father. Pastor, pray for my son, cried the father. I've promised the Lord that if my son recovers, I will come back to the church and bring my family and will again start living for the Lord. I'll never doubt him again. Of course, the pastor prayed. He said, dear Lord, we come to you now on behalf of Mr. Jones's son. We pray that he might recover from this snake bite. We want to praise your name for sending this rattlesnake to bite John. This one rattlesnake has done what I or the church has been unable to do in the life of Mr. Jones now for over 5 years. During all this time, he has not been interested in his spiritual well-being or the spiritual well-being of his family. And this one rattlesnake has turned his mind back to you, Lord. Could it be that what we need in the lives of ourselves is bigger and better rattlesnakes? Doubt and faith may seem to be enemies on the surface. Bill Hybels, pastor of the megachurch Willow Creek Community Church, tells an interesting story about an experience after a baptism service in their church. He writes, I bumped into a woman in a stairwell who was crying. I thought this was a little odd since the service was so joyful. I asked her if she was all right. She said, no, I'm struggling. She said, my mom was baptized today. I prayed for her every day for almost 20 years. The reason I'm crying is because I came this close to giving up on her. At the 5-year mark, I said, who needs this? God isn't listening. At the 10-year mark, I said, why am I wasting my breath? At the 15-year mark, I said, this is absurd. At the 19-year mark, I said, I am just a fool. But I just kept trying, kept praying. Even with weak faith, I kept praying. Then she gave her life to Christ, and she was baptized today. I will never doubt the power of prayer again. Sometimes we doubt that God is listening. We pray and hope and pray and hope and nothing. We begin to doubt. It's something that we all struggle with. A lot of this is societal. We live in a world where everything is instantaneous. Instagram. Those that follow me on social media may have noticed more posts from me this week. Don't worry, I'm not mad if you didn't. There are times when I interact with social media a lot and I get stuck into constantly checking to see who liked my post. It's like these little shots of validation. And it feels great, honestly. But sometimes you think that that post should have gotten more likes or more attention, and you start to doubt. You start to ask yourself, what was wrong with that picture? Why aren't people noticing me? It's a dangerous road to go down. Doubt is a natural feeling to have. Our scripture this morning tells of a doubter. Most of us have heard of doubting Thomas, or have heard someone called a doubting Thomas. Here in the Old Testament, we have a doubting Abram. How did Abram get where he is? How did Abram get where he is in his faith? Abram's walk with the Lord has not been what you would call stellar. His walk was much like a roller coaster, up one minute and down the next. He had answered God's call and was on a mountaintop. Then he went to Egypt and became a liar who was willing to share his wife with someone for his own safety down in that valley. Then God delivered him from Egypt, and he started slowly moving back up to the top of the mountain. Abram went out and rescued his nephew Lot and was introduced to Melchizedek, a high priest of God. He was blessed and assured that God was with him. Then we get to our scripture this morning. We're in the 15th chapter of Genesis, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. We're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation this morning. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all of my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Story time. I think that all relationships have a good measure of doubt in them. You know, especially in the beginning, there's doubt about what's going to happen. Jennifer and I have a pretty unique story, and I'm not going to sit here and tell the whole thing this morning, and a lot of you may have heard bits and pieces here or there. But for today's subject of doubt, made me recall a particular chapter. As I've talked about before, I did not grow up in a church-going household. My parents instilled in me a strong sense of right and wrong. I knew how to treat other people, but our house was not led by a Christian worldview. Jennifer and I had been dating for a while, and things were getting serious for me. I felt that we were getting close to taking the step of moving in together. I was hearing at work that I may be transferred to either Addison or someplace in Dallas. To me, the logical thing that was going to happen was that Jennifer, Lauren, and I would move to Addison or wherever and be together. I talked to Jennifer one night about this in my apartment. Now, I had every expectation that this was something that Jennifer would accept and that we'd move in together. Boy, was I in for a surprise. Jennifer was not reading from the same plan that I was. See, with Lauren, she had much more at stake. Jennifer pretty efficiently explained to me why this wasn't a good idea and how she could not follow my plan. Well, this pretty much rocked my world. See, for me, there was a process, a sequence to this relationship thing. You meet, you fall in love, you live together, and if all that works, you get married and then start a family. Well, that plan had already taken a hit with the arrival of Lauren between steps 2 and 3, but I had a hard time accepting that Jennifer was not willing to take this next step with me. Looking back, I see her concerns. I understand her reasons, but at the time, this really rocked my world. I saw my perfect plan fall apart. I didn't know how to take the next steps. I had doubts about the relationship. That's part one. Stay tuned for part two. Getting back to the text, the first thing that we see when we look at doubt, God knows. We'll look at verse 1 again. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." A great deal of time had passed since Abram was on that mountaintop hearing from the Lord. And now he was starting to doubt what God had told him. He was going into one of those low places in his life. God had promised him that his descendants would be made into a great nation. He was getting a little impatient. God looked into Abram's heart and knew that he needed some encouragement and a reminder of what God had promised. God says, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield, your protector, and the reward that I promised you is coming. Just be patient." Today we may not hear from God in a vision or a dream, but we do hear from him. We have his word to speak to us. We can take comfort knowing that God is with us through scriptures like Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2. "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I am far away." Or John chapter 14, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." This verse from John is used many times at funerals to comfort family and friends. God gave us these verses not only for the times of loss, but for those times of doubt and worry. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I know what you're going through, and I'm here for you, and I will always be here for you. God knows our hardships and heartaches and troubles. If you're here this morning and having doubts, know that God knows and that he wants to help. He does that by allowing us to cast our cares upon him. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. "But Abram replied, 'O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant of my household, will inherit my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir.'" Abram is getting discouraged while waiting on the promise of descendants. He was going to have to leave all that God had given to him to his chief steward. That's what they did back then when you didn't have any heirs. Your line would cease. Abram doubted what God had told him. Abram did what we must do if we are to cast our cares upon God. Abram was honest with God about how he felt. He was frustrated. "God, you promised me this, and it's not working. It's been a while now, and I'm getting older, and nothing. What's up with that, God? I don't understand." Notice he didn't start off with a high priestly prayer acknowledging the God of the universe and his holiness and majesty. No, he just poured his heart out to God. He was honest with God. When I was preparing this message, I was listening to the audio reading of Genesis. We're not going to cover chapter 18 today, but if you want to see an example of Abram being honest, take a look at verses 22 through the end of the chapter. Abram and God are talking about the destruction of Sodom. God says that he's going to destroy it, and Abram intercedes. He says, "Well, will you destroy both the righteous and the wicked? What if you find 50 good people?" Okay, so that's pretty bold, right? To just go against God, but it gets better. I'm listening to this and I'm laughing out loud because he doesn't stop there. When the Lord says, "Okay, Abram, if I find 50 righteous people, I'll spare the whole city," Abram's response is, "Well, since I've begun, let me talk to you a little more. How about 45? The Lord says, "Okay, I'll make it 45. "Well, how about 40? 35? 25? At this point in time, I'm laughing out loud listening to this. I'm laughing because this doesn't sound like a conversation between a mountaintop Abram and the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving creator of the world. It sounds like a negotiation between a parent and a four-year-old about how many green beans he has to eat before he gets up from supper. The thought that occurs to me is this: how can I think that my doubts, my insecurities are going to shock the Lord? When doubt and discouragement come into our lives, cast them on the Lord. Just talk to God. He already knows your discouragement. He knows your doubts, and he's waiting to talk with you about it. Don't think of God as an impersonal, uncaring God. God cares about you and what you are going through. Cast all your doubt and cares upon the Lord." So, story time, part two. Back to 1999. A few weeks before that conversation I talked about in part one, I had just started working at Jason's Deli. As a matter of fact, I had started the same day that Lauren was born. It became clear to me if I wanted to advance in the company, I was in for a long wait. There were a ton of talented people in the company, and I was at the very end of the list in DFW. I saw on a clipboard a notice that the company was asking managers to move to South Carolina. I figured that I may as well throw my name in the hat and see what happens. A few days after the conversation with Jennifer and all of this doubt had entered my mind, I got a call and was told that I was selected to go to South Carolina. Uh-oh. Jennifer just told me that she wasn't going to move with me to Addison. South Carolina was out of the question. I figured I was going to have to choose. Either I stay here in Texas and work this out with Jennifer, or I was going to move to South Carolina and focus on work. That night, Jennifer and I in the car, and I told her, I said, hey, I got selected to go to South Carolina, but I'm not going without you and Lauren. And I'll let her tell you her response to me.
So we're sitting in the car at a stoplight, and he says, hey, they want me to go, but I'm not going without you. And I paused for a second, and I said, no. I was like, let's go. I was like, let's go. And he looked at me, and he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, let's go. And he kind of looked at me, and I'm like, let's go. And he's like, okay. And he didn't question it at that point in time. He didn't question it. A couple days later, he looked at me, he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, okay. He's like, why? And I'm like, it's right. I just know that I know that I know that I know. And he's like, but how do you know? And I was like, God, that was totally God speaking. You know, because I don't know how to explain it, just that. I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew it was right. That's where we were going. That's where we were headed. And that, from that point on, everything else was going to work out, however it worked out, but it was going to work out. So having faith in telling him, no, I'm not going to just move in with you, because that took a lot of faith, because I wasn't sure how he was going to take that. But having faith in that decision and knowing it was the right decision, you know, God was then able to work things out the way that he wanted them to work out, and he just kind of gave me that go. So,
sure. Thank you. My assistant. God, so my next point this morning is this: God can and will claim your fears. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5 again. Then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir. For you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. Have faith, Abram, God says. I am God, the creator of the universe. I know that you're discouraged, but if you just keep the faith, everything will work out. God gave Abram certain promises, and he told him to hold on to them. God gives us promises that we can reclaim and hold on to in times of doubt. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Joshua 1:9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And 1 Peter 5, verse 7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. The funny thing about this story that I'm telling you with Jennifer and I is this. I wasn't studying the Bible at the time. I wasn't going to church. I had not read the Bible, had not read it. I probably had not prayed to God since I was in high school and I needed to pass a test. I didn't have these verses to fall back on. You know who did? Jennifer. Her faith, her walk carried us through this time. And let me tell you, it was a time. I wasn't great at commitment while we were dating. Not that I didn't love her, but it was complicated. Once Lauren was born, my commitment was stronger, but now the stakes were higher for Jennifer, and she had other things, she had Lauren to worry about. Then throw in the fact that we're going to move 2,000 miles from every single person we know. I'm still amazed that Jennifer was willing to take that step with me. We found out we were moving on January 3rd, 2000. The move was scheduled for January 8th. During those 2 weeks, God had some smart people speak into my life about commitment and what was holding me back. And I eventually planned an elaborate proposal to surprise Jennifer. Yeah, not really. We were in the parking lot of an electronics store at the corner of Collins and Pioneer. I turned to her and said, "You know what? Let's get married." God will reaffirm his promises and his majesty to us if we just believe. That's what verse 6 tells us. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Over that next 12 months in South Carolina, as we were living together, learning how to love, how to be husband and wife, learning how to raise children, going through our ups and downs, Jennifer taught me about faith. She showed me in her actions, she showed me in her grace. The unconditional love that she had for me through the tough days taught me what it's like to have faith. Between Jennifer and VeggieTales, I learned about God. I had Bible study right alongside Lauren. When I think about faith, I think about a conversation that Jennifer and I had. She was telling me that we had to have faith, and I was like, "What is that? What is faith?" She tells me, "Faith is taking the step when you don't know what's going to happen. Faith is taking that step when you have doubts." I'll never forget that. See, if you know the answers, if you can see the path, if there are no surprises, if you know the ending, is it faith? I see faith and doubt as partners. It's through doubt that my faith grows. It's not knowing how it'll work out and seeing the way that the Lord... That's not right. It is not knowing how it'll work out and seeing the way that the Lord fulfills his promises that gives us comfort that he has not forgotten us. That is, that he is still with us. You see, the best thing about telling my story, about telling our story to people, is that I can look back and see how God's hand was all over us. The way he supported Jennifer and gave her strength and, Lord knows, patience. It is also awesome to see the way that he used her to bring me to him. Our faith is built upon doubt. And today, in these past 12 months, we've seen some new doubts enter our world. I didn't ever think that we would have tax day in July, or that there would be a year without March Madness and college basketball. I didn't think that there would be school from home, or restaurants that can't seat people, or having to wear a mask, or not being able to see my mother on her birthday. I think that now, more than ever, we have to have faith. Faith in the promises of our Lord. We're going to sing our last song this morning, "Let Kingdom Come." And I invite you to join me in that, and we will wrap up with a prayer.